Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey. A journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, the show can be contagious.
Well, hello and welcome to this edition of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. I'm your host. I'm Dr. Jesse Walker. I'm going to be with you for the next 60 minutes. We have got a fantastic show planned for you tonight, and I certainly trust that all of you all are as excited as I am. So, let's say I hope you fed the kids and the dog for his walk and did all the things that you perhaps would like to do in preparation for tuning into tonight's broadcast. We have a very special featured guest that we're going to be bringing in momentarily. And so I'm going to encourage all of you all to stay with us tonight. And as you learn something from our featured guest, we're going to be bringing her in momentarily. We're also going to be joined, I anticipate being joined tonight, by our very special featured, my co-host, Joshua Jackson. He's been doing a fantastic job. He's a protege of mine, and Joshua has been doing an outstanding job over the air. In fact, why don't we just go ahead, but just before I bring my co-host in, I want to send out this message of housekeeping, and that is we're going to be moving over to a brand new website. We're ironing out some of the kinks right now. If you've tried to tune in to listen over the airwaves, you may run into a blockage. So what we're going to do is we're going to ask that you, at some point, just stay with us. Don't be discouraged. Don't lose hope. Send us an email if you are having difficulty, because it's going to take a minute. Hopefully by next week, we should have everything worked out. But you may be able to go in and listen to some of the archive shows at this point in time. Nevertheless, give it your best shot, and I hope that things – well, we know that things will work out because they always do. All right, check out my book, Dr. Jesse, After the Passion, Now What? It's available at Amazon. It's also available online. So let's bring in my co-host, Joshua, this time, all the way from sunny South Florida, on the campus of – Baltimore University. Joshua, welcome to the show this evening, and I trust you've had a great day.
Yes, sir, Dr. Walker. I had an amazing day today. Hello to everyone who's tuning in. I hope you guys are ready for this awesome show we're about to bring to you, and I hope you guys are tuning in. We are having some technical difficulties with our webpage right now, so about next week, like Dr. Walker said, our webpage should be up, so if you guys want to tune in and listen to our archive online, you may run into, like Dr. Walker said, a few little technical difficulties, but hopefully next week, Dr. Walker, we should have things up and running so everyone can check us out.
Well, that sounds really, really good. Let's go ahead at this point in time and bring in our featured guest this evening. She's a lady that I met a few weeks ago, very impressive. Young lady that read a speech, and I could not miss the opportunity to go up and meet her personally because I was so impressed with a poem that she actually wrote. And I told her, look, I would love for you to be able to read this poem on the air. And so let me, at this point in time, go ahead and bring in Miss Moody. I'm hoping I'm saying this right. Amaranda. I believe so, and if not, she'll correct me. Ms. Moody, we'll just go with Ms. Moody. Ms. Moody, welcome to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. You're on the air live. Good evening.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure to have you. And Joshua, go ahead and give her your to-dos.
How you doing, Ms. Moody?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well. It's a pleasure to have you on our show.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I'm happy to be here.
All right, Ms. Moody, at this time, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, what you do and how you do it, and then we're going to get into your reading, which I was so impressed with.
Oh, thank you for that. Well, I actually was a TV editor for several years. I used to edit for different networks, like MTV and Fox, and now I provide film production equipment for video and film productions and TV shows and things like that. And but my true passion is writing. And so I just, not long ago, actually just branched out into spoken word, which is how we met and how you saw my performance. And it's something that I'm really passionate about.
Okay, excellent, excellent. Ms. Moody, that poem, give us a little background, maybe what you may have been going through at the period and time that you that caused you to write this.
Well, I'd say it was almost like a summary of my whole life. It's I became a Christian about a little over a year ago, so it hasn't been that long, but it's completely, you know, changed my life. And someone recommended to me that I would, since I love to write, they said I would be good at spoken word. And honestly, I was a little nervous about it. I didn't really see myself doing it. So I was hesitant to write anything, but with, you know, some encouragement of some of the people at my church, we have a youth ministry called Next at Calvary Fellowship. They actually encouraged me to try it. And basically, the poem kind of goes through, it's called Going Through the Motions. And it's basically about how sometimes you just go through the motions of life and you don't really think about, like, God or anything that you're doing. You just kind of go through the motions and just, you know, you sin and you do all sorts of stuff. And then you wonder why things are going badly for you. So, you know, suddenly after I realized, you know, after I became a Christian, that everything started becoming better and everything started becoming good. And but, you know, in the middle of the poem, I do mention that just because I'm a Christian doesn't mean I'm like this, you know, like Mother Teresa type of person. We still have, you know, dark thoughts and we still are human. So the poem kind of explores that, the fact that I still, you know, I love God and I'm trying to be a positive person. But, you know, it's, you know, sometimes it's best to just forget your past, move on, go towards the light, but you're still human and you can't forget that.
Okay, well, that's excellent. Having said that, I'm going to ask, and before I do this, I want to say that oftentimes you may find people when they say that they have become a Christian, they find that life becomes a little more challenging for them. It's almost as if they are starting to go through a test.
Absolutely.
Are you saying that this is not necessarily what happened to you because you mentioned that life started to get better?
No, not necessarily. I'd say it makes the way you react to it better. Life is still going to be hard no matter what, but my reaction to life is different. And the thing that happened to me and the struggles, I feel like now after I became a Christian, there's a little twinge of hope at the end of it. It's like, you know what, this is going to be bad, but there's hope. So that's how I feel that it's changed. And it is a struggle to be a Christian because sometimes you feel like you have to put on like a persona, but the challenge is you have to really within yourself change and actually become, you know, a good person. And that's the challenge I feel like a lot of new Christians face.
Okay. All right. Joshua, before we proceed any further, this is a person that, Ms. Moody, with your permission, we're going to be in touch with you because of your experience with radio television production, because we're hoping to eventually move into the arena of mainstream radio or possibly TV production at some point, and with your expertise, I'm sure you'll be able to provide some insight for us into that arena. Is that okay with you, Ms. Moody?
Of course, absolutely. I would love to help.
All right, sounds good. All right, with having said that, why don't you go ahead and delight us with your poem that you wrote?
My pleasure. Okay, so it's called Going Through the Motions. I feel like I'm going through the motions, like a potion. I'm under a spell. I act it out, play the part, but I know one day I must restart. I want to be real. I want to be true. I want to devote my life to you, to affect others, to truly lead. Lord, please plant your seed. I feel like I'm going through the motions. Where's my devotion? Where's my purpose? You speak to everyone but me. Am I so broken that I can't see? So many days spent spinning around all over town until that day I had enough. I wasn't tough. Life was too rough. It had to end. I couldn't mend, no faith to bend. The devil kept knocking on my door. I succumbed and did his chore. Through the darkness, I did sail. And dare I say it? Of course I failed. So then I went through the motions, disregard what's right, no matter the notion, until my actions became a commotion. The life I led had no promotion. But now I feel my guilt has expired. It's time to act. I have full desire. Through the darkness, there is light. Through my weakness, I will fight. Through the motions, I go no more. I have found someone I adore. To faith, I walk. I don't look back. I won't stand down. I will not drown. I will not be consumed. The world's temptation will exude. God, my life is yours. I'm here for you. Please, show me what you want me to do. Do you all even understand what I'm trying to project? How I feel I can't protect my thoughts from going dark. My confidence will wean, how I feel I cannot lean. I keep it all to myself. I never ask for help until my insides, they implode from the burdens that I load. Sometimes I forget that you're there. Then my guilt, I can't compare. How can I forget the Almighty that you are? How you straightened me from afar, showed me how real you are. That I shouldn't be ashamed myself. No longer I blame. I will not frown. I will not drown. I will not be consumed from this self-imposing doom. My past is just that, fast. It's gone. The light brings a new day, so let me just smile. Say, hey, even as I stand around with no one to talk to, I feel as if I ought to be grateful that you're there. There is no judging stare. So many nights I feel alone, but I know now to change my tone. Don't let those simple thoughts roam. Only God can bring me home. I'm no longer the devil's clown. I will not frown. I honor your crown. I wear this gown. I won't stand down. Your word is renowned. I will never drown. Upon a mountain, he built this town. God has turned my life around. When he whispers his love, do you hear that sound? Thank you.
All right. That is absolutely beautiful.
Beautiful. I agree.
Go ahead, Joshua. Throw in your thoughts on that. I mean, as I shared with her the first time I
heard it. I loved it from start to finish. I'm sorry, Dr. Walker. But
that's all right.
Go ahead. Even from a young perspective, I adored the vocabulary, everything. It was amazing. I loved it.
Thank you so much. I appreciate
it. So good. And listen, you know what? I'm sure that poem will take you a lot of places. And I'm certain not only that, I am confident that there are probably people out there as well that can relate to the message in your poem. And I think that that's what becomes important is when people can relate to something that someone else has written to remind them that their personal struggle, they're not alone in that personal struggle, but that somebody else also is going through something just like they may be going through. All right. Having said that, I know that the show goes real, real fast. Real fast. And Joshua, if you'll just take this time and give them another update for the about the website, what we might be going through and what they can expect, just a 15 to 30 second spiel on that, I would certainly appreciate that.
Okay, so basically right now we're having a few technical difficulties on our website. We just changed over from one domain to another. So now that we're with the new company, we're having a few technical difficulties shifting the domain name. But as far as our archives, we're starting up our YouTube page. So that'll be another way in the near future that our external audience will be able to connect with us through YouTube. So that's coming about as well. So just bear with us. In the next week, we should have our next webpage going.
Okay, well, that's great. Now we're going to now let's go to tonight's story. Are you, Ms. Moody, are you ready?
Yes, I am.
All right, let's do it. We're going to go to the characters in tonight's story. And this is always important, that we get the characters right. The characters in tonight's story are none other than Pauline. And who else we have? Pauline and Quinn. Pauline and Quinn, these are our characters in tonight's story. So that's always important that people get their names right. After 9 years of marriage, Pauline and Quinn have finally concluded they are not equally yoked. And they both have known this for some time. Now, some of the implications of their lack of being equally yoked includes, number one, they have major spiritual and religious differences. Number two, they have educational differences. For example, Pauline holds a master's degree, and Quinn dropped out of high school. Number three, Pauline works as a corporate manager. She's a corporate manager. Quinn, on the other hand, works as a custodian. And, of course, these stories are inspired by true stories. And it's not to demean or promote anyone, because we're all human in this race together. And people choose the directions that they go in. But just so happens that this story is about a couple that are not equally yoked, and they feel that they're not. Quinn works as a custodian. Pauline is an extrovert, where Quinn is more of an introvert. Quinn loves to travel. Pauline hates it. At bedtime, they simply have absolutely nothing to talk about or even joke about outside of the typical day-to-day courtesies. The couple has had numerous counseling sessions, so they've already been through counseling, which has obviously not helped them at all. They feel that their only hope is to call it quits and find someone whom they are more compatible with. This is a very sad time for Pauline, because she actually realized that this was the problem they were having while they were in their dating stages. But because of pressure from family and friends, she chose to get married, because both of them being in their late 20s, Pauline kind of felt that her internal time clock for having children was running out, which, of course, pressured her to go ahead and get married. The couple has two children, ages 5 and 7. And the kids are not at all happy in the home, because the parents are so distant between themselves. Pauline is ready to take her children and leave, because she is so frustrated, even though the kids are both, they're the biological parents. But she's ready to just call it quits. Ms. Moody, I want to start out with the topic of our show tonight is, what does it mean to be unequally yoked? But first, let me pose this first question to you, Ms. Moody. And the question is, why would Pauline subject herself to a relationship with a man that she is not equally yoked or compatible to, for that matter, or vice versa? Why would he do it?
Well, I will say this. I feel like society now, there's an immense pressure. I feel like this has actually always been a case, but there's always an immense pressure, especially when you're hitting your late 20s, that you should be start settling down, you should be getting married, and even especially if you're Christian, that's like a huge thing. They're like, you're supposed to settle down, you're supposed to have a family, you're supposed to have children, like that's what you should do. So, you know, start at it. Now, me personally, I can relate to that pressure. I mean, I'm actually 31 and I'm still single, so like, you know, it's like you feel all that pressure, but I'm the type of person where I will not settle for just anyone, you know what I mean? So I can understand, and I've seen it happen to people that I know, where they don't necessarily think that they're with the right person, but they're like, you know what? I better get at it because, you know, time's running out. Even though they're young and they have their whole lives ahead of them, the pressure just gets to them, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So let me ask you, you say you're 31, you're still single, and you understand the pressures that, people go through, in this case, perhaps Pauline, with family and friends rushing her and her internal time clock running out. Do you have children, Ms. Moody?
I do not.
Okay. Does it, do you feel that pressure? That pressure that you could succumb listening to perhaps family and friends and then finally ended up getting married when really it's not too necessarily the right guy?
I'm actually very happy right now being single because I feel like as I spent my 20s always in a relationship and I feel now I'm at a point in my life where I never had time to be alone. So I'm actually enjoying being on my own and being independent and getting to know myself and just, you know, trying to. So I definitely, there is always pressure because everyone around me, my friends, my best friends, they're all married and they're all having children. But I don't actually feel that pressure. I mean, I feel the pressure, but I'm not going to succumb to it because at the end of the day, I know that if I do find the right person, I do not want to get divorced and I don't want to be in an unhappy marriage. So for me, that's worth waiting until whenever it is. And if that means that, you know, I pass the time clock to have children, it's like, well, then that's just the way that life is, you know. But, I mean, people nowadays are having children well into their late 30s. Sometimes some people are having children at 40. So, you know, I don't feel like that there's necessarily like a time crunch. I feel like I'm still well within my time, you know.
Right. Okay. Well, let me ask you this question, and then we're going to go to Joshua with the same question. What does, in your opinion, what does it mean to be unequally yoked? What does that really mean? That's tonight's topic.
To me, personally, it feels like you're not on the same level. And that, of course, has many different factors. You know, in your story, you mentioned Pauline and Quinn, and not only are they not spiritually on the same level, but you know, there's their career, et cetera, their, you know, their personality. Now I feel like that isn't as of much importance as the spiritual side, because spiritually that binds everything else. Like if someone has a rich career person, I've seen successful marriages where the person, someone has a blue collar job, the other person, you know, has an executive level job, and they still could be happy. They could still make it work. But when you're not spiritually on the same level, like he's off doing, you know, let's say if he doesn't believe in religion and he's off doing other stuff and you're on a whole other level and you're trying to be a good person, like I don't feel like that at the end of the day would match. It'll crumble at some point.
Okay, I see. That's interesting. Joshua, what's your take on what does it mean to be unequally yoked?
I'd have to piggyback off of Ms. Moody. When she said they're not on the same level, because honestly, that's how most relationships ends, because one person may be thinking bigger, more innovative to where to take the relationship, and the other one could be just on, oh, I like it the way it's going, we good, and it causes friction inside the relationship. So it can be career, spiritual, it's just whatever it is, and that's the time we have to take to figure out, why is this not working? Why don't you compromise to get here? We don't take that time out. We'd rather just argue, listen to the other person just to rebut why you're right and they're wrong, and that's really how it goes. So most relationship ends. So I feel like most people need to get back down and just talking to each other. Let's figure out why we having so many problems. You can be on the spiritual side saying, hey, I feel like you need to be more into what I'm into. Well, not like that, but hey, come check it out, and then okay, we can have a little settlement for the moment and see how it goes. He might like it, get saved. You never know what happens. You just have to get down to the square root of the problem.
Now,
okay.
I could just interject for like a quick second, if you don't mind.
By all means.
Okay, so like I also feel though like some people confuse unequally yoked with having different tastes and things like that, which are two totally different things, because I do feel like two opposite people can attract each other and be a good balance. but I'm a bit of an extrovert, but I've been with an introvert, and we actually balance each other out. And you also don't want to be with another you, because that also will usually doesn't work when you're with someone that's exactly like you. So I feel like there's a good balance in between. But, you know, unequal to yoke means you guys, like, if you're willing to compromise and he isn't, and you're not willing to make certain changes and sacrifices, then that's what I feel is more of, like, being unequally yoked.
All right. Now, so basically, if I hear you correctly, Ms. Marie, you're saying that any relationship has the potential of working if you really want to work it. Is that what I'm thinking that I'm hearing you say?
I do believe that. I do. Because I feel like if you're willing to, I've met some, especially when I mentioned before that, like, to me, the most important part is the spiritual part, because that kind of binds everything together. I have met successful couples where when they first started, one of them was not religious at all or spiritual or anything like that. And they have learned to change and accept it with time, and they've worked together and they've made it work. As long as they're willing to work with each other, then I feel like you can come to a resolution where you're both on equal levels. If you're not willing to work on things that matter, then it's just never going to work.
And I agree with that. You got to go to the communication to come to some agreement. That's where my point was coming from, about the whole, you got to get back to the root of the problem, regardless if it's spiritual or career, because some people do base relationships off of career-wise, and then, okay, it's a power struggle, and I can't rely on you, and then it goes to the power of the career. So you got to think about that as well when it comes to relationships, and we got to communicate that for those people who went through that problem, because that's, people go through that as well. We have to be realistic. So what do we tell them? They have to communicate efficiently. We have to sit at the table and tell each other, look, I want you to try this. That's it. You got to get down to it, because if you don't, you're just going to get ran over. That's how I feel.
You know, it's interesting that you say that, because the language that we use when you're telling somebody, basically, I want you to try this, or I'd like you to do this, two mature adults, they don't respond as well, in my opinion, to what appears to may come across as demand. But, Joshua, I certainly agree with you that the communication, and not just communication, but effective communication is the key. And somewhere along the way, the problem to me, part of the contribution to the problem is when people start to take each other for granted. They just start to take each other for granted. And they're not so interested in the policies of keeping the romance alive, because now it becomes almost like a chore, you know, to look after your significant other, the relationship that you're in. So people are no longer as excited about their significant other, because it appears that the novelty has worn off from the excitement from the relationship. And that, you know, is where some people might question it and say, well, that's where the agape love kicks in. But I think that if any relationship is going to have a fighting chance, you have got to incorporate that romance in there. And the fact of the matter is, unequally yoked, I asked you all the question, but unequally yoked, and Ms. Moody, we may differ slightly on this one, unequally yoked is not, but yes, I would say the most important factor is the spiritual point. But I have known people to actually come together that are attend the same church, that are on the same spiritual plane, but they are not equally yoked. You know, they're not equally yoked. They're not compatible. So I want to address this here. Is there a difference between equally yoked and compatibility? Ms. Moody.
Well, that's interesting. You know what? That's actually a really hard question, because there's so many factors as to what would make someone compatible and not. You know what I mean? I feel like I've in my past been in relationships where we are two opposite people, but we've made it work. However, since I'm no longer in those relationships, I guess at the end of the day, they didn't really work out. No.
Okay. All right. Okay.
So I do agree with that. Yeah, I actually, you know what, you bring up a very good point. You can be on the same spiritual level and still be compatible. I feel like there's, I wish there was like a number of things, like a checklist you could check off. Like, and, you know, if you have a certain amount wrong, it's like you could just say no.
Yeah. And see, I have a lot of experience at this. And that is, you know, dealing with relationship issues, because let me tell you, there are just as many people who are spiritually compatible that are getting divorced as there are people who are not necessarily spiritually compatible who are getting divorced. So it's got to be a balance. Everything has to have a balance. And I think that the spiritual part, to me now, is the first part that we look at. If you, especially if you know that you are a very religious person or a spiritual person, then you definitely, you want to make certain that this is what you want to look for. Because if you know that you're that person that loves to go to church or loves to be religious or spiritual, then that's someone, somebody that's not is likely to frustrate you. Joshua, give me your take on that. You know, compatibility and equally yoked. Is there a difference when you think about it?
It is more to, I'm going to lean more towards compatibility, because if I'm not, if we're too much of the same, we're going to bump heads, in my opinion. So I feel as if I need someone who has better tendencies or has a different point of view on things, because why, you can learn from them and you're going to be a, well, for me, I'm more attracted to the disagreement, because it's like, wow, okay, you're really just not going to do whatever what's supposed to go down. So it's like, okay, what is it that you like? And then it opens up your eyes. So I'm like, okay, wow, this is what you believe in. This is what you do. Okay, I'm not going to change my personal views to the fullest extent, but I can accept yours and be okay with it. That's why I feel like it is more towards compatibility to being equally yoked.
Right. Okay. Now, you know, you said something that was a number of things that were quite interesting. And one of those things comes to my mind, and that pretty much about compatibility. If I were to counsel someone and they had the question of being spiritually equally yoked or compatible, I would probably lean more towards the compatibility. And that's why I think that's so interesting that you brought that up, because the compatibility can encompass the equally yoked component. Because in order to be compatible, I think the spiritual or religious part would be part of that compatibility. But when you are not just focusing on the spiritual component only, it gives you a varied perspective of looking and say, well, if I like to do these certain things, I like a sunset, but the person that I'm with, they could care less about a sunset. I like to go out a lot, you know, and have romantic evenings. The person doesn't care to go out at all, like in our story tonight with Pauline and what's that other guy's name?
Quinn.
Quinn, thank you for that. Yeah, Pauline and Quinn. And so you begin to look at this and you say, well, okay, this is interesting. She doesn't like to go out. But she knew this stuff before they got married. So if I were to counsel someone, I'd say, look, you need to look at compatibility. You need to also look at chemistry. How well do you deal with this person? And to learn them in 3 months, 6 months, that's not enough time. I think you have to be around everybody that they're associated with, their family, and see what those interactions are like, their friends, see what those interactions are like, their grandparents, if grandparents are still alive, people out there on the street who are strangers to them, like at the store, what's their temperament like when they're upset? That's the part you really want to see, how they react to things, particularly when they are upset. Ms. Moody, why is that so important to when somebody's, you know, when you're talking about being equally yoked or compatible, why is looking at temperament so important? Why is that important for you?
Well, that's a huge thing for me. I mean, you definitely brought up a great point, seeing their interactions with other people, because I feel like that's a huge thing. And also just seeing them, you know, in different situations, you kind of, because, you know, you don't want to marry someone and then surprise, you find out they have a huge temper problem, you know. And I feel at the end of the day, it's hard to know what the balance is, you know, because everyone is so different and there's so many intricacies of everyone's personality. I feel like what everyone should do, I mean, at least what I do, is I made a list of deal breakers for me, basically. And it was more like, these are the things that are most important to me, and everything else I can work with or I can work around. But if they don't agree with this or are not willing to try and agree with this, then I cannot be with them. I feel like that's probably a good way to see, you know, catch any red flags before you get into a very serious relationship with anyone, for me. So, you know, obviously someone's temper is very important, but I feel like if there are certain things that you will not stand down on, you should write them down and make sure that this person knows, or at least see for yourself if they can match that. You know, because that is the most important thing. If they don't match that, then it'll never work, in my opinion.
Okay, and that's certainly important. And Joshua, why would seeing someone, how they respond to issues when they're angry, why is that so important? What does that tell you about that person, perhaps?
Because they can treat you one way to the person they potentially want to be with and treat someone off the street like, whoa, I never knew you could act like this. I never knew you would put me in this position. People can really wow you, just surprise you, and take you and your life on a ride. So you really have to invest time into seeing that person, who they are for them, not who they show you for the time. And 6 months, you start to see a crack of it, of the temper. It's okay. You know, I can look past it. Then it's a year. It gets a little worse. May add drinking. Now it's, ooh, you know. So it's like, oh, I got to get out of here now. But it's too late. You don't invest 3 years into it, and boom, you don't know what to do. You're crying to everybody else because you lost. And you should have did the proper research on the person. Not to say you got to do a background check on them, but if you want to take it, I wouldn't be talking to nobody I have to do a background check on. But so it's just a simple fact. we have to be careful, doctor.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And you know, it's not a bad idea to do a background check on someone. In my opinion, it's not. In this day and age, you need to do. Go ahead, Ms. Marie. A background check and a credit check.
No, but I actually knew someone that she would do a background check on everyone she met, and an extensive Google search on every single guy that she met, or if they went on a date, she would do the full background check just to make sure. She didn't trust anyone at all. She gave no chances.
And that's okay. And did she do all right? Was she finally settled, or if she did get married or whatever?
She's in a relationship now. I mean, to me, I feel like I want to go through and see how I feel first. I mean, if you feel a weird vibe and you want to do a background check, just like he said, you know, I feel like that maybe I shouldn't be trying to date you then if I want to do a background check on you. I don't know. That's me personally. But hey, to each their own. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, in today's times, the world that we're living in, I would tell any woman and any man, you know what, learn as much as you can about that person, because they're only going to tell you a half truth. There's going to be some things that they're not going to tell you. Because you begin to wonder, why did this couple, who would have ever thought this couple would end up divorced? Or who would have ever thought that this couple would break up? They seem like the perfect couple. Where somewhere along the way, I mean, you look at the news every day, men are killing their wives. Wives are, you know, I mean, it's like crazy. It's absolutely crazy. But that was the guy that you chose to have kids with. That was the guy that told you a number of times he loved you. What happened? Did you provoke him to snap like that? Ms. Marie, I mean, the sweetest guy, I'm sure you've had relationships, And give me an example of what would cause you to just say, well, this isn't working, let me break off. What were the warning signs that you saw that led you not to get married?
Well, I feel like it was different reasons for each relationship. I feel like one of them was almost, okay, one of the reasons I started seeing a trend of, like, he would just always go along with everything I said, and just we always did whatever I wanted, which to me wasn't very interesting. It's like, I need you to interject some of your personality into the relationship, you know what I mean? So
right.
that kind of, I don't want to date myself, and he just
uh-huh.
didn't add anything to it. So I just eventually got bored and was like, this isn't working. And then I had another relationship where I actually did notice his temperament did become a bit of an issue. Like, he would get very, very angry, and I would see bursts of it when he was out on the road driving. But you just think, oh, it's just road rage. Doesn't matter,
right.
You know? And that's why I feel like what you said, it's important to see them in other interactions and out in the world. Because if I would have just taken those hints of the road rage and then known that he would be just as, like, you know, angry and upset for certain things and, you know, and yell and stuff like that. It's like, well, once you see that side, you don't see them the same way anymore. Like, at that point, the honeymoon phase is over, and it's like, no, okay, you know, it's time to go, basically.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, and that is so important. That is so important. You have got to really, I mean, even when it comes to, let me tell you something, having children with someone, whether it's the man or the woman, I think that is paramount. I mean, sometimes a woman might say, well, this guy is absolutely drop-dead gorgeous, and I know that if I have a baby from him, my child is going to look gorgeous. But you might be producing a devil in a child. I mean, they're going to pick up the gene somewhere, yours or his, and one gene may dominate. Is it worth that risk, Joshua, in your opinion? And then Ms. Moody, same question. Then we're going to take some of the comments that are coming to the studio. We've got about 18 minutes before we close out.
I wouldn't say so, because personally, you may not know if you're going to last. So, yeah, you might have a beautiful baby, and then what? You hate the person you had the baby with. And on the
right.
male's perspective, that could go horribly, because then you end up in court, you end up on child support, then you can barely see your kids, that whole nine yards. Yeah, sometimes it's not as severe for some people, but that's really the laws of the land once it's over.
Well, listen, we're going to ask you that same question, but before you respond, I want you to think about this. But see, people fail to realize that gene is there. And then you all saw the movie Chucky. I think that's what it's called, Chucky.
Yeah.
Josh, did you see the movie Chucky? It's been a long time, but did you ever see that one?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So, Ms. Moody, respond to that question, you know, based on Chucky. Here you created a devil.
Well, you know what? And that's actually a plot in a lot of movies. I'm a massive movie fanatic, so I've seen plenty of movies where they have children and there's something wrong with the child, you know, something not right, right?
Absolutely. But at least the kid is good. Ms. Moody, the child is good looking, very attractive, but the child turned out to be a devil. Now, that's because you wanted a good looking child that turns out to be a Chucky. And if he's giving you trouble at elementary school, he's going to give you trouble in his teenage years if he doesn't turn around. So speak to that, Ms. Moody.
This is going to sound very mean. I know this, but I will say this. If you are having a child for the sole purpose of him being good looking, then you almost deserve the demon child. Like, honestly, to me,
I
personally.
Agree. I agree. I agree. You know what? I promised myself this week, Joshua, that I wouldn't go. My stomach was hurting for several days after we did last week's show because I laughed so hard. I promised myself this week I wouldn't laugh as hard. So, Ms. Moody, here you are. You say that might sound mean, but you say you deserve that kid. That's the devil.
It's true. That's a terrible reason to have a child. I mean, the reason I still don't have a child is because I am so worried about having a child with the wrong person that I just won't have one until I know for sure. So it's like, hey, if that's your reason, then you go. You know what? You deal with the child. You know what I mean?
Okay. Oh, I've seen that so many times where the mother just give the child to the father, especially if it's a boy. It's like, you deal with this kid. But, Joshua, did you want to respond to anything before we move right on to taking some of these comments?
No, we can take some comments, Dr. Walker.
All right. The first comment, Ms. Moore, we're going to give you this first comment. This female writes in reference to tonight's show. What does it mean to be unequally yoked? She says, I think it means being religiously compatible to be equally yoked. This to me means being of the same religion. Is that enough, Ms. Moody? Is that enough, being religiously? Is that enough?
It is not enough, because I could be a Christian and you could be a Christian, but we could be on two totally different levels of Christianity. You might be one of those. I know plenty of people that they're just the Sunday church goers, where they just go to church on Sundays, hey, I'm here, and then they go out to the club and party and do all sorts of crazy things. It's like,
right.
Yeah, you're religious, but you aren't really. Oh, sorry, I thought you were going to say something. So, yeah, so
no,
to me, no, you're on the same spiritual level. You know, like that to me is more, you have to be both mature in your faith. And if you don't feel like you're there yet, then wait for each other to get on the same level. To me, that personally.
Joshua, what do you think? Same question here. She says it means being equally yoked, being of the same religion. I mean, you got people that are different religions and they're more compatible than they are religiously.
It takes time. It takes patience. It takes understanding. So once you take the time to build those things and trust, really, to trust that you won't change on them eventually because of the religious beliefs, and that's a part of a relationship building, and that's what makes the two people a team. Honestly, it's about teamwork if you're going to be into a religion. So sometimes you may lose faith, and it takes your partner to uplift you with not just saying, okay, I'm going to believe in what you're going to believe in, but I'm going to still be there for you regardless of what I believe. And that's what makes that teamwork and that relationship works.
All right, Ms. Moody, let me ask you this question based on what Joshua is saying here and my interpretation of that. I mean, you are 31. Are you really willing to put in 3 or 4 years of a guy because you like him to subscribe to the religiosity or the religious notions that you subscribe to? Are you really willing? He's got everything else going for him, but it's this religious part. He just can't buy into organized religion. Are you willing to wait to try to change him, really?
That is an excellent question. And that, honestly, I'm going to be honest with you. That's actually a question that I struggle with a lot. Because I always feel like, what if I met the perfect person, but he wasn't, you know, the same religion as me? Like, then what would I do? Because it's stressed very heavily in, you know, in my religion to find someone that is also the same. So I'm not going to lie. Like, I feel like if he wouldn't be able to try for me because it's so important to me, then maybe that person isn't the one, you know? So that's kind of how I feel.
Okay. All right. That's interesting that you say. So your bottom line is you're willing to wait. I mean, you meet the guy, but you're hoping, and Joshua used the word change. And in my opinion, you can't change anybody, you know, because you just – and, you know, we try to keep it real on the show. You can't change anybody. And if you're sitting there waiting, thinking that, okay, I need you to do this here. It ain't – my bad language says it ain't going to happen. It's just not going to happen. People want to change. They want to do what they want to do. And then furthermore, we're all still in developmental stages, whereas 10 years ago when you may not have been married, and today you're married, you realize, you know what? 10 years ago, I wouldn't have done this. Now, today, I find myself doing this. Why am I doing this? You know, so we're still going through that developmental stage, and it gets worse if you're thinking that you're going to sit around and wait for somebody to change, to adapt to what you want them to adapt to. It's not likely to happen. Ms. Moody, you still wait and give it a chance?
Well,
and then
well,
create that devil of a child?
The difference,
I'm not trying to discourage you, Ms. Moody. I'm not trying to discourage you. Go ahead, though.
No, that's hilarious. No, okay, so the difference between, you know, 20-year-old me and 31-year-old me is that 21-year-old me would have possibly waited and seen if maybe, but 31-year-old me would tell you right off the bat, like, this is important to me, and before we even go this route, if you're not willing to, like, be so open to it, then no, then it's not going to work. So I would just do it in the beginning because, honestly, I'm 31. I don't have time to waste. You know what I mean? I don't have years to waste. So if it's a deal breaker, then, you know, then I'm just not going to happen. I wouldn't even let it go that far.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So
all right.
That's, you know.
All right. Excellent. Excellent. Let's move on to the next question. Oh, we've got 8 minutes before we close the show out tonight. This female writes in, Joshua, let's give you this one here. She says, what does it mean to be unequally yoked? I personally think it means more than just being religiously compatible. I think it also means being compatible in most things. Joshua, I mean, she sounds like she's waking up. It's not just religion, but it's most. She didn't say something. She said most things.
Yes, sir. To agree with that, you do have, it comes back to compatibility. You have to have more like things than just, okay, we're on the same religious page, because then that offers up anybody in the church. So what makes you different from everybody else? Okay,
yes,
because,
yes.
Huh?
No, go ahead. You're right.
Oh, so now it's, okay, what do you like to do? Hey, I like to go skating. Oh, I like to skate. So then it's just personal things and personal attributes about that person that makes you express, hey, we're kind of the same. I like hanging out with you. You hit it off. And then that's when we start having to do the, that's when we have to do our background research on the person. Like, okay, yeah, I know I like you because we're similar. Now, what's the bad part? Because, you know, we always look in the bad for somebody. So that's the negative side. Where's the anger? That's still a negative thing we want to find out about. So that's when we do our background check.
If you don't find that negative out soon enough, sooner than later, you might be in for a real surprise, a shocker, a real shocker. Yes. Ms. Moody, let me ask you this question here. We're running out of time. We're going to try to get to about 3 more comments. Just quickly here, we're going to ask you all to keep your comments short at this time. But Ms. Moody, just quickly here, and that is, you meet what you believe to be the perfect guy. He says he's willing to make some changes and even join your faith, join your church. I mean, really, because he really wants you. But there's one thing, let's say you don't drink at all, alcoholic beverages, you know, but he's a social drinker because he says, well, Christ made wine for the wedding. And you really didn't want a drinker, but he's got every other attribute that you're like in love with. What do you do, Ms. Moody? What do you do?
Well, actually, this is funny because I've dealt with this. This is, it's just, honestly, it's not a deal breaker for me. So if he's just a social drinker and it's not like he's an alcoholic, then it's a problem, you know?
Right.
So I feel
right.
like I would be willing to let it go as long as it's not a problem and as long as he didn't make me drink. You know what
okay.
I mean?
Right.
So as long
okay.
as he's not... Yeah, as long as he doesn't make me do it, then I think I'd be okay with it.
So you're okay with him having alcohol in the home if you already get married and so forth and so on?
I would have a rule about the alcohol. I wouldn't want alcohol in the house. But if he's
supposed
to be there,
that's his house too, Ms. Moody. So how are you going to tell him not to? You met him, Ms. Moody. Met him drinking. Go ahead, doctor.
What about his drunk tendencies? Are you going to put up with his drunk tendencies? Like when the way he acts when he's drunk. So I
just exactly. Miss Moody.
You're going to hate it, Miss Moody.
You're going to hate it, Miss Moody. Because you thinking that you can change him. You can't change him. As a matter of fact, now he's like, this is my house just like it's yours. I want my drinks in here. And now the fact that you're getting on his nerves, now he's got to have a drink, a heavier drink, and 3 or 4 glasses of his drink. Because
this would not work.
Miss Moody, you said at the top of the hour you did not want to get a divorce, Miss Moody. So now you Miss Moody, we're not picking on you, but there are things that people don't realize that when they're willing to accept one of the things, that very one thing can be the deterrent that says I should sort of follow my mind and say this guy drinks now a little bit. But this guy, now he says I've gotten on his nerves. He now got 3 or 4 drinks, and now he's snoring. He didn't take a bath in three or four days because you don't got. But Miss Moody, for better or for worse.
No, I think now you guys have made me realize, and I don't want to be with a drinker. I think I changed. Honestly, I know. You can't win in relationships. There's no winning.
Don't be discouraged, though. Don't be discouraged because there's still hope. Now, let's take another question. Oh, we are clearly almost out of time. We got to be quick on this one here. This male writes in, Joshua, this one's for you. He says, unequally yoked to me means when you believe to the extreme of what your significant other may believe, and that can be with anything. He says, when you believe to the extreme, that's unequally yoked. You might believe in God. They don't believe in God. That's the extreme. Is that unequally yoked?
I believe that is. That's fully unequally yoked because it's two different personalities. So for them to somewhat agree to stay in a relationship, I don't know. Mm-mm. I don't see it.
Let's move it real quickly there. What does it mean? I mean, you know, unequally yoked is your counterpart believes completely the extreme of what you believe.
Yeah, no, I don't believe that would work. Because how would you function in a relationship, like as a couple? I just don't. It doesn't make. It wouldn't work. It would end badly, or maybe with a demon child. Maybe.
But that's like an atheist and a Christian. It wouldn't work.
No, it wouldn't. It wouldn't. But he's good looking, this movie. He's extremely good looking. Joshua, she's drop dead gorgeous.
I look so mad.
Yeah, looks don't matter, and we don't drink, Miss Moody.
let's take this other one, Miss Moody. Here we go. This one's for you. He says, unequally yoked. I think people have been fooled into thinking that opposites attract. I heard Miss Moody over the air say opposites can attract. For example, I love to talk, and my wife barely talks to me. In fact, there are times when she says, I talk too much. Does this mean we're unequally yoked? I would really like to know, Miss Moody, he says.
That's a tough one. Because, I mean, technically, yes. I mean, if you're opposites, you are. But there's balances, because there could be that you guys are unequally yoked in the right ways. I don't know if that makes sense. For example, I hate driving, but my ex loved to drive. So that was like the two extreme differences we had that worked perfectly. You know
okay.
What I mean?
So you need him to be a chauffeur? Come on, Miss Marie. But you still didn't keep him because he's your ex.
There's plenty more problems.
I know.
That I
Man, okay. Joshua, same question back to you. Are people really fooled and thinking that opposites attract?
They're not fools. They're hopeful. I can say that they're hopeful.
Okay.
Because honestly, when you meet somebody, you may like them so much that you may be hopeful that's when we came back to the change part, that they'll see the light of your ways, basically. And they're not. They're not going to change their ways based upon what you or what you can offer or what you have.
Right.
Or honestly. So they don't want to face reality.
And that's an interesting factor. Last comment we're going to be able to take. Miss, and then we're going to ask both of you all the question, what does it really mean to be unequally yoked? We're going to reiterate that, and maybe you all have a change of heart in what you may have said previously. Ms. Moody, this female, she says, my husband and I have been married for more than 15 years, and we have concluded that we are not equally yoked. I attend church regularly, and he does not even go to church. I like traveling, and he doesn't. I like communicating, and he is rather quiet. The bottom line is we have adapted to each other's differences and embraced them, and we find ways to compromise, which makes it work. I'm happy, and it's even getting better. So I think being unequally yoked can be a matter of mindset, especially if you listen to other people about your relationship. Ms. Moody, that sounds like a mouthful. What do you think? She's happy.
That is a lot, actually. Well, honestly, I think that goes back to what I said about willing to compromise. I feel like that seems to be the number one factor in the being unequally or equally yoked. If you're not willing to compromise, and I know you can't change people, but if you're not willing to yourself be open to change and compromise with the person, then I feel like that's what determines the level of that's how it determines if you're unequally yoked or not. You got to be willing to compromise.
Are you willing to compromise letting the guy have four bottles of alcohol in the refrigerator?
Because then that's a problem, and then we'd have to.
No alcohol in her house.
I understand. Joshua, are you willing to go with that lady because she's drop dead gorgeous and she can give you like a beautiful kid? Are you willing to go? But she's not
always
drop dead
gorgeous.
She's an associate of the devil. Come on now.
Not an associate. Maybe a coworker. No, I'm playing.
So, Joshua, do you, like, date her and think, and then she accidentally gets pregnant, if there's such a thing as accidentally gets pregnant?
Oh, Lord.
No.
I would be this moody at church on Sunday.
Good luck. That's all I can say.
You know what? On that note, we are clearly out of time. Joshua, just give us your 15-second rendition of what it means to you now that we've done this show live, what it means in your mindset to be unequally yoked. And then Ms. Moody, we're going to ask you that same question as we bring the show to a close.
To keep it quick, basically two opposites in an equal relationship, would it work or will it not? And I believe it won't work.
Okay. All right. That's quick enough, and I tend to agree with you. Ms. Moody, give me your thought on equally yoked or unequally yoked.
I believe that two unequally yoked people will not work. If you're not willing to compromise or to, you know, if you're not on the same level, then it'll never work. There's just no way to me personally.
So should you be concentrating more now that you've heard this show live tonight? What do you take from this, Ms. Moody? Should you look at more just the religious aspect or the spiritual aspect? Or should you look at the compatibility, place emphasis on compatibility?
Well, I will say this. I do think I like what you said about using spirituality as a foundation, because some people just think that that's it. You just need to find someone in the same religion and that's it. And after this conversation,
right,
I realized it's more than that. Like, I feel you got to use that as a base. But compatibility is that's so important. If you're not compatible, you have no chemistry, then it's just never going to work. And why would you want to be with someone, you know, like that?
Right. It is rare. Well, we're clearly out of time. Ms. Moody, I want to go ahead and thank you so very much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be on the air with us tonight. We had a good round table. Joshua, it's always a pleasure having you as my co-host. I mean, it's just, you know what, I still get to laugh a lot. Ms. Moody, I hope you've enjoyed yourself tonight.
I've had a great time. I would love to be back. I had many time. Like, I had a great time today.
All right, then, Joshua, we're going to book her. Go ahead, Joshua, give her your final thoughts.
Okay, I'm glad Ms. Moody came out. I hope all the listeners had a great night. Thank you, Dr. Jesse Walker, for even having this show, and I'm glad to be a part of it. And I just hope we just keep making it happen.
Yes, sir. All right. On that note, we're clearly out of time. I want to thank all of my listening audience around the world for tuning in with us. And again, as Joshua said earlier, we're having some technical difficulties with our new website, but it should be up and running in excellent condition by next week's show. Join us this Friday for your half-hour inspirational show. If you can't join us this Friday, join us back here live next week when our topic may be for better or for worse. For better or for worse, whatever that means. Until this Friday or until next Tuesday, I say to my listening audience around the world, good night, God bless, and thank you, God.